Welcome to Reiki Cafe Radio. We're your hosts, Christine Renee
and Izzy Wells. We come together with more than 25 years of experience in Reiki, meditation, chakra wisdom, clairvoyant techniques, and holistic healing. We are passionate about helping individuals release resistance, step into their authentic selves, and align their lives with the truth of who they are.
Reiki Cafe Radio is your choice for vibrant Reiki conversations, meditation experiences, and holistic wellness. This is your space for a deeper look into the ancient wisdom through modern eyes. So grab your tea or coffee and join us as we sip our way through this week's episode. Welcome back to Reiki Cafe Radio. I'm your host, Christine Renee. And today I am joined with a chakra dance facilitator, Jim McDonald. Welcome to the show. So happy to have you with us.
It's really great to be here, Christine.
Awesome. So I've been taking Jim's class. He is facilitating a chakra dance workshop. What is it? An 8-week series, something like that.
It's 9 weeks.
It's 9-week series. And I think I tried chakra dance probably about a year ago, and I don't remember the specifics. I just knew like, okay, this is cool. And everyone who's a listener of Reiki Cafe Radio knows that I'm really, really into chakras.
Yeah, I know you are. That's how I first met you, was taking one of your meditations.
Oh, there you go. Like one of the chakra meditation classes.
Yes.
Yes. Right. I feel like it's such a beautiful combination. Like, I feel like that's what I do in your classes. I'm doing my meditation shamanic work through chakra dance. And I'm kind of fallen in love with it. Like, really, you guys, if you have a chakra dance in your area, you have to check it out. And so we're bringing Jim on today, not only because he's a guest presenter at our upcoming retreat, our Soul Rising retreat here in Bozeman, Montana, from June 26th through June 30th, 5 days of fantastic experiences and outdoorsiness and workshops. But Jim is going to be on the first night offering chakra dance. And it's such a cool experience. But before we get into all of that, I really want to hear Jim's story. I don't know much about Jim's story, but I'm like, what brought you to chakra dance? And one of the things that you said in a recent class is that you're one of two male facilitators, which I find fascinating. And I want to know how you were brought into this community and what it means to you.
Yeah, it's a kind of an interesting story. You can read about it on the website I have, dance.intimacycadre.org, where I have a bio, but it's a really kind of serendipitous story, if you believe in serendipity. Some don't. But I got into dancing kind of for the wrong reasons. I was chasing a woman and she danced and she did five rhythms dancing. And I figured if I want her to like me, I'd better come to her dance classes. But it really transformed my life to be doing five rhythms dancing. It didn't work out with this person, but that didn't keep, once I was done with that, there were a couple things. One, I had to grow up. I had to learn how to be more solid in myself and learn how to love myself better and not go chasing people and to trust my own being. But the second thing was I was dancing and the dancing itself was transforming me and making me more able to be the person who could stand on my own two feet and trust myself and trust my own love for myself. While I'm in that process, I was seeing a local Rolfer here who became something like my spiritual mother. And she's working through the fascia in my body and really unlocking a lot of stuff. And she was with me through some really hard transformational times. And I'm very thankful for this person. But she suggested one day, I get the intuition that studying Tantra would be really good for you. And for the first time, I heard the word Tantra and it resonated. And I didn't have a partner. I always thought this was something partners and couples do together. And really, I thought, well, I'm going to do it as an act of self-love for myself, not understanding that that's actually the premise of the school of Tantra I start with, is that you're complete in yourself. your partner's not really responsible for your pleasure. You're responsible for your own pleasure. And so I had all the right instincts, at least, for why I wanted to do it, even though I had totally wrong idea of what it was. So I went out to California and took my first Tantra workshop, and they had something called a chakra wisdom meditation. And it was a moving meditation with blindfold on. And I had a very powerful experience, all kinds of visions of that would take far too long to explain, but it was a transformative experience for me. Fast forward a couple of years, I was thinking about that meditation, but I didn't remember it correctly. I thought it was a chakra dance meditation. And so I thought to myself, does this exist? Is there something called chakra dance? And so I looked it up, and there was. There's such a thing as chakra dance. I totally misremembered the name of this meditation. It's a meditation, and actually the chakra wisdom one that I want to offer pretty soon, and maybe I'll mention it later. But I wanted to take a local class. I did not want to take another online class. I wanted to meet a person. And I looked it up, and there was a facilitator in Bozeman. But then she moved to Portland before she could offer a class. And she says to me, why don't you study to become a facilitator? And I sat with it for about 6 months. And finally, I felt yes. And so I went through an online program with some amazing people. Some amazing, mostly women. There have been a few other males through the years, but I think there are only two currently on the licensed facilitator list. But it was almost all women and me taking this online journey for a couple months with the founder of Chakra Dance, a woman named Natalie Southgate in Australia. And I went through this program. I became a facilitator. I offered a local class. I worked with Natalie on a 7-month deep dive class, took it from her, and then co-facilitated it. It was 7 to 8 month course. So that was an amazing experience. And then, of course, COVID came, and COVID's gone, and finally been able to reoffer it again. So it's been quite an interesting journey. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and I'm so glad you are offering the classes here in Bozeman. One, because I'm for purely selfish reasons. And also, I have really high standards for facilitators. And I know I've expressed this to you before.
Yeah, you have.
You're solid. And I'm wondering what other experiences have led you to being able to facilitate with such clear confidence and boundaries, because I think that's so important when we're managing a classroom, a group experience.
Well, this will sound, I wasn't expecting to bring up this part of my experience, but for years I was an anti-war organizer in Washington, D.C. back in the early 2000s. And there was a lot of experience facilitating meetings and a lot of experience facilitating meetings where everybody in that room has a voice. These are non-hierarchical organizational structures. So you started to learn things about your privilege, male privilege, racial privilege, a lot of things. You learned a lot of skills. And in Washington, D.C., people are loud. They're not like here in Montana where they can be quiet and passive. People have opinions there. And so you have to navigate meetings often on a tight time frame to get things done while making people feel like their voices matter, that they're empowered, that they have something to say, and that what they have to say is equal to what anyone else has to say. So I started through that field. And then gradually through all this other training, and especially the Tantra, where we really emphasize holding space, holding a safe space, honoring desires, fears, and boundaries. We work on sacred communication all the time. And by sacred communication, I mean the kind of communication that allows people to hold space for each other and be intimate and go into deeper places. Some of it is just
space.
Yeah. And some of it is just me. I think I just care very much from a lifelong, since childhood, I've been seeking, what is love? How do we love each other? How do we care for each other? And I haven't always done a good job, right? It's a lot of failure along the way.
As we're human, right?
Yes. Like,
of course. And just noticing that's like a part of your signature of who you are. That you have that deep, caring sensitivity about you.
So I would say, like, that's the thing that impressed me about you was that you were able to hold really good space. So how was that for you?
Oh, I love that question. Not often do my guests ask me. Well, thank you for that. Well, let's see. I think I've been facilitating for a really long time. And you know what it is? This is what it is that I was working in women's health before I became a full-on energy healer. Mm-hmm. And when you're working with women and birth and babies, mm-hmm. you, anything and everything can possibly come up. Sexual trauma can come up. Abuse can come up. All of these really heavy topics. And so you have to not only learn how to hold space for your client, your patient, to feel safe to reveal what's really going on, where they're emotionally struggling, where they're physically struggling, where they're psychologically struggling, and be able to hold space for that. And so mm-hmm. I really learned how to facilitate attending births where women are at their most vulnerable space and mm-hmm. navigating this. And I really am so grateful for where my Reiki training came from because I was trained at a birth center. Mm-hmm. And so I was doing Reiki and women's work at the same time. And so it was very much like, not only am I caring for this physical woman who's in the physical process of labor and birthing, but I'm also energetically helping her manage what's going on. Mm-hmm. And so there was lots of times I was put in positions of holding space for the mother to energetically teach her how to have contractions, how to mm-hmm. surrender, how to let go, and how to let whatever emotions were coming up not overcome her, but surrender to them and release them so that she could fully dilate, have her healthy baby and all the things while I'm, you know, also talking to the spirit baby and doing some other energetic things. So I think that's really what started me on a path of facilitation was being able to witness women at the most vulnerable.
So that's fascinating. And I think that's just beautiful work. So you're literally a midwife. I was always impressed. It's going to sound strange, but coming from chakra dance, but I was always impressed by the Western philosophy of Plato, where he likens philosophy to the art of a midwife through the voice of Socrates, that he says, nobody gives you wisdom. You have the wisdom already within you. What a philosopher does is the act of a midwife helping you to give the skills to give birth to things that already exist inside of you.
Yes.
But to literally actually be a midwife, that's an incredible.
It was amazing. And, you know, there's times where I miss it, but, you know, people ask me like, how did I learn my bedside manner as being a Reiki practitioner? Like, oh, it was just years of prenatal clinics, mm-hmm. postpartum clinics, going into people's houses and their private spaces and letting them feel like I'm not judging you. I don't care mm-hmm. how messy your house is or how clean your house is, or if you've got screaming children, like all of it's okay. And just being able to let people feel safe with whatever is going on. And so you learn how to hold space of not judging one another. And I think that's the same thing with you doing that leadership role and facilitating conversations around war, really difficult concepts, is that you're learning how to be like, I can hold my own energy and I can hold that container for myself. I have that boundary of where I'm not going to necessarily get emotionally pulled in and triggered by something. I can mm-hmm. learn how to do that. And I'm able to hold space so everyone has a voice here. And
right.
I think, right. And so that's really hard.
And also really believing it. So I think my core of really believing that everybody has their own wisdom, I don't see myself. So we call ourselves in chakra dance facilitators, not teachers. We're probably teaching too, but we're not, the idea is we're not giving you something that you don't already possess yourself. We're simply providing the space for that.
Right.
And how do you provide the space? I guess that's the talent of yes. being a facilitator.
Right. I think that's it. And so I also had training in Our Whole Life Sexuality Education. I don't know if you've heard the term before, but mm-hmm. it's science-backed curriculum, let's put it that way, very promoting consent and all of the things. Mm-hmm. But it was put together by two churches, and to take their trainings, they also taught like you're facilitating, you're not teaching them, you're facilitating their own understanding of their own body, their own innate wisdom of mm-hmm. what their body wants and needs and how to communicate that to others. That was the premise. So it was always coming back to learning how to communicate and allowing others to have a voice. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And so in here's the chakra dance where there is no voices, but there is this radical movement.
I mean, there are voices, right? We use our voice.
There is. Yeah. So tell all of our listeners what is chakra dance? Keep referring to it.
Right. We haven't actually talked about what it is.
What is it?
So chakra dance, I mean, in a way, it's silly to say it was invented in 1998 since chakras have been understood forever and dancing's been done as long as people have been around and maybe even before people. But it was formulated in the form that I'm a licensed facilitator in 1998 by a woman, I mentioned her once, Natalie Southgate in Australia, basically come very eclectic taking of these sorts of ideas of chakras, dancing, some Jungian psychology, and sort of how she sort of channeled it into and developed it into a program. And in chakra dance, what you do is you take what you have. The reason it's 9 weeks is that we have the seven chakras. We have the introduction and we have an integration week. And so each week you're focused on dancing through one of the chakras to music that's been sort of attuned to a particular chakra, so that presumably if you dance it, and my experience is if you dance it, you'll be able to more focus your attention to whatever the chakra needs or whatever it's saying to you. So in chakra dance, we have that element. We have some still meditation elements. We also, for reasons that aren't even clear to Natalie, she says it was just always done. There's a mandala art aspect to it as well. So there's no moves to learn. So it's a free dance through guided facilitation of dance. And then it's the free spontaneous application of your hand with art materials to the magic circle, the mandala of your experiences. And then there's a little sharing about it. It's not super complicated. I would say the facilitation is pretty light on it. Like I speak for, a dance is like 20 some minutes and I'm speaking for 2 to 3 minutes of those 20 minutes. Mostly you're in your own experience with your eyes either blindfolded, or in our class, mostly with our eyes just lowered, and you're having your own experience in your own dance. And I'm not coaching you. I'm not interrupting your flow. If you break down in emotions, I let you have your own experience. And then there's a little time to process and share, but it's mostly an inward experience through the chakras.
And I love too that there's such a respect for the dancers where they're not touching each other. They're not interacting in any way. And so it just allows you to be fully in that somatic experience of whatever needs to move through this music. I mean, like, I want to become a facilitator just because I want the music.
That's true. Yeah.
Right. The music is like the best chakra music I've ever heard. And I've spent my time looking. And so I'm like, I love how inspirational it is in accordance to that chakra, you know,
to let Natalie know that you think so.
I do. I absolutely do. Like, if she had a soundtrack, I would buy it. And I think that because the music is so profound, it leads to the availability of whatever needs to show up for an individual, whether that is standing and quietly rocking, or being on the floor, moving on the floor, or radically dancing. And having that space to have that full expression is just so unlike so many different forms of dance expression that we have, right? Like, it feels a little similar to Five Rhythms. It feels a little similar to ecstatic dance, but it's not.
Correct. Yeah, I would say the big difference, say, with ecstatic dance is ecstatic dance, they usually do with their eyes open. Mm-hmm. Their ecstatic dance and Five Rhythms follows a particular wave. You can map those probably onto the chakras, the Five Rhythms, but it's just attuned differently. And the focus is much more inward. I love it all. I love ecstatic dance. I love five rhythms. I love the rawness of dancing in public in a very unsafe space. Mm-hmm. I like it all. But chakra dance is a great place for inward attunement with a little bit of the vulnerable sharing that we have. So it has just enough that of that extroverted outgoingness, but it's mostly... Yeah, it's mostly a very gentle experience, I would say.
Yeah. Yeah. And I love witnessing the people in the class. Like, I love that integration piece at the end where we're moving from dance and movement into the mandala artwork and then into, you know, a share and just witnessing everyone who's where they are in their process and what's coming up from them. And it's all being okay. Like, there's no right or wrong.
It's all okay. People may not like the music. They may not resonate with the dancing. Horrible things may come up for them. Amazing things may come up for them. Very different things from different people in the same room may come up. And the sense of acceptance that these are all just experiences. This is all just information for people. There's no right answer for, you know, oh, you did it wrong. I mean, nobody's ever going to say that. Nobody ever says, oh, you don't know how to dance the heart chakra.
Right.
I think that would be the most absurd thing.
And I think that's it right there. That absurdity of that statement, that's what happens in class. It's like everyone has their own personal connection to what heart chakra represents. So your dance and your movement, whatever that may be, little or a lot, or the noise that you make, little or a lot, or none at all, like all of it is so personal and okay.
Right. And you're discovering things like, what is it? Where are my edges? Right. Is it an edge I want to move through? Or is this a boundary for me? Like, all of these questions can be asked for yourself. And part of it is in the room where someone might be howling. It's like, yes, you're having your own experience, but you may have to hear someone else's experience while you're having your own experience. And that's an interesting thing too. We're not inviting just pure quiet in our meditation. Yeah. We're inviting the movement of energy. So that movement isn't just movement, it's breathing, it's sound as well.
Yes. Yes. That's just a really beautiful aspect that comes into play of, you know, there's not a lot of spaces where you can just make sounds from the need to make sounds. And I love that there's that, the safety and letting it be what it is.
Safety. And I would even argue the danger. There's a little bit of danger in it because it's not always easy if you're having this intense experience and someone's going, just making really loud noises and you may be really irritated by that. And the person making the noises might wonder, am I irritating anybody? Like, all these questions are invited. My job as a facilitator is to say, yeah, you're both can be legitimate. You know, how does it feel to feel upset? You know, how does it feel to let your voice go? Can you accept, at least understand the rationale for why in this space we're allowing in this case noise to happen? So it's really interesting dance. So even though it's inward, we still are dealing with the fear of judgment. And the fear is also a legitimate feeling to let in. Like, we're allowing it all in.
Yes.
All of it.
Yes. And so for some, it can be a lot of emotional processing. It can be a lot of like recognizing the triggers or the physical ailments or whatever it may be in their body. And there's also the space for it to be blissful, to be pure joy. And for me personally, having done a lot of my past healing through the chakras, it's given me an opportunity to really have a shamanic journey-like experience where it's very almost out of body at sometimes. I've had past life memories show up. I've had spirit animals show up. And the prompts that you offer in the dance, like, align perfectly with that. I think that's why I love it so much, is because the prompts are actually like, yeah, I'm already in the cave or whatever it may be. Like, it feels very much like a non-ordinary reality experience, even though I'm physically moving my body with it.
Yeah, that's in part my own process because I'm going through my own shamanic journey to prepare for facilitation. I'm listening. What is it I want to say here? I take a little bit of the information I might have from the facilitation that we're trained to do. There's a script. I don't follow that script unless the script resonates, and that's the message I get, that the script is right for this moment. Mm-hmm. And there's clear stopping points. There's clear changes in the music. So that part's probably going to be similar just because it makes so much sense to offer my facilitation at certain very patterned spots of the music. But what I actually say, I go through a process before our class, you know, for a few days before our class where I'm dancing it and I am getting in tune. And that's where I'm doing my chakra dance work. Because when I'm facilitating, it can be hard to have my own deep experiences.
Yeah.
Besides the beauty of witnessing you all, I feel like I'm the lucky one in a lot of ways. But from the shamanic perspective, mine is with the intention of how am I going to prepare for this class? I'll dance it once where I try not to think of the class, although I inevitably often do, like it just comes to me. And then I'll put my focus the next time I dance on, okay, how am I going to facilitate this? And then I'll usually dance it one more time just to see if that's still in. And then when we're doing the class, it usually comes out how I've done it. Occasionally there could be a slight in the moment change, but usually it's exactly how I've through my process.
Yeah. I love that process because you're allowing your innate wisdom or divine consciousness or some other intuitive influence to come in to kind of feed what the class needs. So this class might not look like the next 9-week series.
That's right. Even if there was some of the same music, hopefully there's a few different series with different music, but at some point you're going to be repeating some of the music. There's only so much of it, or there's only so much of it I'm allowed to use. Let's just say.
No, that's great. But that's great.
Yeah. And I actually think that's something some of the facilitators struggle with. They're just so worried about getting it right. And they don't fully trust their own voice. And that's what I would like. If there are some chakra dance facilitators listening, it's like my encouragement to you is trust your intuition. That's exactly what Natalie has set up this program for, is for us to trust that we're enough. So as facilitators, let's trust our own voices and trust that it's going to be consistent enough with whatever Natalie has in mind. And don't worry about that. It's not about being, I know people want to honor the founder, but like, this is important work for ourselves. We've got to trust our own inner wisdom.
And I love that you mentioned that, knowing that the intention of the founder is to have the facilitators trust their intuition makes me even love it more, because I have students in the same mindset of going like, I need to do it exactly the way Christine does. And I'm like, absolutely not. Like, please don't do that. Yeah. Like, I don't need more copycats of me. I need you to be exactly who you are and all of your magnificence and all of your divine wisdom and all who you need to support. You're here for your mission and purpose. So take the tools, take the skills that I'm teaching you, and then you can integrate them with your own intuition. There's no hard, fast rule. It has to be done this way. Right.
Yeah, that's what I believe. Anyway,
yeah, I love
we have
that.
Some hard and fast rules, I would say, but I'm a bit of a rebel. So
yeah, me too. What do you love about chakra dance?
Oh man, there's so many things I love, but for me, what I really love is the discovery of the blissful aspects of it. So you mentioned that a little bit. So chakra dance is called a movement therapy modality, and it's focused on healing. But, you know, sometimes I'm just done with healing. I'm ready for what's next for my life. I'm ready to soar. I'm ready to fly. And when I combine my intuitions and learnings from Sky Dancing Tantra, which comes from the teachings of Margot Anand, who wrote this Art of Sexual Ecstasy, she says our nature is bliss. So I've found when I move through the chakra system and I move through the very material, earthy, sexual chakras and move up through the system, I'm generating sexual blissful energy through my system. And sometimes I do not have an intention before I dance. But inevitably, when it gets up to my voice, I somehow will speak an intention. Something will just arise out of me. And then in the third eye, I will see it. And I'll feel connected with it in the crown. And then some of those visions I've had, many of them have come true without me having to do anything for it. So one of the things was I, for years, was sort of disconnected from the dance community in Bozeman. And I suddenly chakra danced and saw myself dancing with people here in Bozeman. Within a week, a woman reached out to me and said, hey, there are some people doing Five Rhythms dancing. And they're not connected with some other people that I had, you know, basically my ex from the past. Not that there were hard feelings. It was just didn't feel right to be in the same space as her. And it just came out of nowhere. And suddenly I was dancing with people again. And I haven't stopped. So that was a real thing I saw. Sometimes it could be as simple as seeing the weekend I'm going to spend with my child, my teenage child. I've seen all kinds of stuff. And it's very similar to what Margot Anand in The Art of Sexual Ecstasy describes as sexual magic. I kind of think it's sexual magic without actually having sex.
Oh, I love that so much. That's it. You're tuning into the same frequency. It's the same energy.
You're tuning into, because you're moving it. You're moving that same energy. And if you're breathing into it, and you have some of the other techniques that I know, you are moving that energy in such a way that, yeah, you may have visions. I'm not promising you're going to have visions. I'm not promising. I don't know that the things are going to come true. They don't always come true. But a fair number of times, yeah, things happen. Things just happen.
Yeah.
And
well, and I think that's experience. So individual, right? Like, you're getting premonitions, like you're getting mm-hmm. the visions of what's to come. Whereas like, I feel like I have a lot of communication with higher beings, like celestials in class, or mm-hmm. I'm getting like, it's definitely moved me. Like I'm not in it for processing triggered emotions from the past. Like I've already moved mm-hmm. through that. And so I'm having this blissful, like even like the past like memory, it was completely blissful. It was like, remember this? Remember the time mm-hmm. and that lifetime that you were just totally blissed out and it was amazing. I mean, just remembering the having those visions, but my visions were very connected elsewhere. And so I think that that's the magic of chakra dance, is that it can look different to different people depending on where you are in your healing story and your journey, and knowing that ultimately the goal is to come into a state of blissfulness and mm-hmm. recognizing that's a possibility. There are so many people in the world that don't even know how to comprehend what bliss feels like mm-hmm. because it's such a foreign concept, and going, okay, we know what the mundane feels like. We know what maybe happiness feels like, but what about joyful? What about ecstasy? What about bliss? Like those seem so foreign oftentimes. And here we have.
Or they're considered momentary.
Yes.
Not a state we're in more often than not.
Yes. Right. Like that. And I think that's it. Like, what if the majority of people, instead of being depressed and anxious, the majority of people were blissed out? mm-hmm. Well, how would that look? Right. Like if everyone was really excited and happy and content and how they move through life, whether that's with work or kids or whatever it is. And that's what we were cultivating, was a state of going like, this can be normal.
Yeah.
This can be normal. And I love working with those who can recognize that we're energetically shifting in the world right now mm-hmm. of going, this is a possibility. I love watching like finding the new documentaries on Netflix or whatever it may be. And it's like the happiest places on earth. And I'm like, yes, at least we're giving some focus on this topic.
mm-hmm. Right. And not in an empty way. Right. There's a lot of times like, let's talk positive. Let's be positive.
Right.
Right.
We're not talking about the toxic positivity.
Right. A very grounded positivity. So like, that's the other thing I wanted to bring up. So we're talking about our spirit soaring and and celestial beings, but I think some people's experience can simply be things like, oh my gosh, it feels good to move my legs, like very root chakra kind of idea.
Yes.
It feels very good to just move my body and yes. feel into the ground and whatever the thing that feels good. Like I always say, like, if you're not having experiences, it's just good to move your body. It's just good to.
Right. And to reorientate to our physical container and getting mm-hmm. acquainted with it again. I think mm-hmm. so many people have disassociated from our physical experiences that even inviting them into their physical body again, to move it, to feel it, to enjoy it could be a radical experience.
Yeah. Without the expectation that you're trying to become a master expert at something.
Yeah. Anything else you want to share?
I just, as you know, I'm interested in so many things. So I'm planning on doing the chakra wisdom meditation here in Bozeman in May. And then I've got a fellow chakra dance facilitator that I've never met in person. She lives in London. She's actually a Polish woman who lives in London and is a chakra dance facilitator. And so I'm going to go out to London in November. And I think we're going to do a chakra dance workshop. So if you're in London or near London and are interested in chakra dance, you'll help us figure out exactly what we're doing by reaching out to me. I also can do one-on-one sessions. I don't know how much online I want to do. So I know a lot of your people are outside of our Bozeman area, but there are plenty of facilitators. And if you go to chakradance.com, you can look people up and there are people who want to do the online stuff. So
very cool. Yeah, I know. It's kind of a hard balance between, okay, yeah. am I moving into the Zoom world or yeah. am I happy and satisfied with my in-person? And I've been kind of fluid in both of those spaces pretty easily. And uh-huh. it wasn't until recently that I was like, all right, I'll do some of the in-person stuff again, which is why we're doing our retreat. Right. But
yeah.
I've been very like, I'm 99% an online person now. And I love it. I love getting in yeah. front of the microphone. I love getting in front of the camera. I love doing workshops online. I love teaching online. Like it's my happy place. And, you know, recognizing that I recently went to Houston and I did some in-person workshops and I was just in my zone for 3 days straight. Uh-huh. And I'm like, I haven't felt in my zone for this long, like continuously going like, I am in my magic. I am in that brilliance place just because I'm teaching day after day after day on the topics that I'm most passionate about and having someone to hold space for me to teach. I don't know if you recognize this. Have you ever been doing workshops and you have someone outside of yourself to energetically clean the room and mm-hmm. energetically like clean you off? And like, I just felt like I was pampered. I was like, yes, mm-hmm. I would love for you to clean the room and mm-hmm. page me off too. And like, it just felt really in alignment. And so I'm like, all right, okay, I guess I'm going to do some in-person stuff again.
So yeah, very thankful for your offering that here in Bozeman in June.
Yeah, it's going to be great.
And the one that I took with you before you went really online was really powerful for me. So I'm really glad, you know, I never told you about my experience that day, but my grandmother, I'm half Greek. So my yaya had died in several months before our workshop or before your class. And I had a big conversation with her during that day mm-hmm. in your chakra journeying. And it was actually not that pleasant an experience. I learned a lot that she was still suffering a lot, but even after death, but still it was a powerful experience and stayed with me through other journeyings where I met up with her afterwards through chakra dance, through yeah. my own deep dive. So I'm really beautiful. Thankful for your offering. So I don't want to take you away from all your peoples, but I kind of do because
you're not the only
one. You live
one.
In my town, right?
right. Yeah, and that's it. I feel like the chakra guided meditations that I've kind of developed and put together, you know, like in our advanced class, I give them the script. I'm like, these are things that I like when I'm with clients, I can really kind of just open up to what is going to help heal this person, help them go on that healing process. And whatever's showing up can often be duplicated in the visualization experience. And so sometimes it will be like, for example, I had a client, gosh, this is probably 10 years ago. And I did a guided visualization to a place where she had a blank canvas and she could paint on the canvas and then it would magically show up in her experience in that vision. So she could paint a cat or paint a lake or paint the mountains or paint a hiking trail and it would show up in her reality. And it was this manifestation magic we were doing. And it came so organically, like I didn't have anything pre-planned. And so in those ways, oftentimes my chakra meditations were never pre-planned, but when they came out of my mouth, they were all intuitively guided by some higher source. And then I finally was like, well, I'm going to do that in front of a microphone and get the transcript and edit it and make it into a copy that people can learn how to facilitate. So we will be having more chakra guided meditation facilitators out in the world. That they're our graduates from our advanced shamanic Reiki practitioner training. So there may be more in our town because we do have graduates who've taken my advanced. And we'll definitely bring some of those exact meditations into the retreat as well. Jim, you're welcome to join us for those. The itinerary is like really beautifully packed with not only guest speakers like Jim, who's going to be on Wednesday night or day one of the experience, but we really wanted to balance it out of having these workshops, having these like spiritual experiences, but balanced also with nature, because Montana in June is gorgeous. And I would say most Montanans leave town because it's finally nice out to go play. And so this is a really beautiful time to experience Montana. And we have really lovely weather this time of year. So it's not hot here. We don't really get hot. We might get a little hot in August, but in June, you're looking at maybe what, 70, 75 degrees?
Probably. Yeah.
This is the time of year where it's fun to go play outside and you can just wear, you know, shorts and a lightweight jacket and you're pretty good to go all around town. And so, yeah, we're kind of bringing in lots of different aspects to heal your inner child and connect with your power animals and understand the chakras and have these deeper healing experiences. We're going to bring in some soul retrieval and working within the luminous body and the eighth energy field. So it's all going to be super fun. So if you're interested, we're going to have the information in the show notes. I'm also going to include Jim's upcoming classes, his website contact information, so that if you're interested in connecting with him, you're welcome to. Anything else?
I mean, besides chakra dance, the other passion, as you've heard, is tantra. And I want to, so I'm going to start locally working on sacred communication, maybe sexual breathing, but at least sacred communication sorts of workshops locally. Ideally, what I want to do is some kind of workshop someday. So if people out of town are interested, I want to combine dancing, I want to combine the sort of sacred communication. And I also have a passionate interest in comic improvisation. And I actually believe that can be a very embodying somatic practice of listening and intimacy. And so I want to combine that as well. And so I'm working towards figuring out what my program is. But if anybody's interested in dreaming or co-creating that sort of vision with me, I'd be really curious. And I'd love to do something here, but I'd be open to going somewhere else too.
Yeah. Yeah. Like that sounds like a great program. I'm like, yes, let's do that. That sounds fun. I used to be really into improv. I did it a lot in college and it's been a long time, but, and because I don't have a natural funny bone, I just don't. So I'll stick with the dancing for now, but I do love all those aspects. And I think melding them together for some type of experience or program would be fantastic. I'd love to see that to come to fruition for you.
Okay. Well, it's going to happen.
Beautiful. I love it. Just claim it. Let's just do it.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
My solar plexus is good right now. So
fantastic. Well, thank you so much, Jim, for coming on and being a part of our retreat. It's going to be fantastic.
Yeah, it was my pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you. Have a great rest of your day to our listeners. Thanks for listening. Be sure to follow us along on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube, and we'll see you there. Thanks so much. Reiki Cafe Radio is sponsored by Reiki Cafe University, where your Reiki dreams become reality. Join us on Instagram or Facebook at Reiki Cafe University, watch our videos on YouTube, or visit the website to learn more about our colleges of Reiki, chakras, and business.
It's our aim to help you on your path to wellness, guiding you into confidence as you transmute your inner critic and say yes to you. We're here to help you bring your Reiki dreams into reality, and your path to abundance, health, and healing unfolds from here.
And love and light, Christine Renee.
And Izzy Wells.